Now, it's raining outside, but better than that, it could rain inside.
Come on.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. We had a great experience this past year. We were privileged to go to Ethiopia for their conference. And 10,000 people. They had built a tabernacle or a building that would contain 10,000 people, but they didn't get the roof on it. And we used it anyway. They managed to get some tarpaulins, and they stretched them over this big building as much as they could. They, of course, had to use rope, and then they laid the tarpaulin on top of those ropes, and I'm sure tied them in place to do a dual purpose. The sun, people, it was just all day services. We couldn't have service at night. Had to close about 6 because of the security in Addis Ababa. People had to be out and around before dark, so we had all day services. So it's either the sun or the rain. One night it came a big rain, and you know how, as much as you stretch tarpaulins, they're going to give. And there was just big dips of water in those tarpaulins, just big dips all through the audience. And I was preaching that day on, of course, the wind and the rain. I had an illustrated message. I'm telling you, the sun was shining. The water was hanging over their heads. And it was still. There was no wind. But right at the time when I began to talk about the wind actually began to blow.
Well.
And then when I got right into the water situation, that wind dumped all of that water out on the heads of those people. And they jumped to their feet and began to get the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Well, we have a good roof over our head tonight. But there is a spiritual rain. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the wind and the rain can blow in. It is blowing here. I appreciate the way this service has started tonight. Tremendous spirit. Praise God. These men are doing a tremendous job. Thank God for your leaders in the Sunday school area, Brother Watts, Brother Davis. These men are just doing a great job. And I was not privileged to be here all day today, but what I did here, I was really deeply impressed. Brother Seagraves brought a tremendous message to us today in the seminar that he taught, and others I'm sure have been equally as well and good. And it's a privilege for my wife and I to be here in the Western District in this another Sunday school convention. Praise God. We came, as we said last night, over the period of years, but it has been some time since we have been in a Sunday school convention. I will play, I have a problem. It's a long ways from this pulpit to that piano. And I had a dear friend many years ago, and he still is, but he always liked to mimic people. And so one night they got him to mimic me walking from the pulpit to the piano. And I have been intimidated and self-conscious. So I'm going to ask my wife to come up here and testify. And all eyes in her direction, and I will get over to the piano. Please come. I want her to stand here and testify. I'm so glad that she's here with me in this Sunday school convention. Praise God. Right now, she is reluctant to do this, I know, but I'll hand her this mic. And God bless my good wife. Praise God.
It was just about as far from down there up here, I believe, as from here over there. But, you know, I am really enjoying this Sunday school convention. You know, we can sort of get out of touch sometimes. You know, whenever we get older, we forget how little children act. But it really does us good to get yanked back into reality. And when Brother Brown was telling the experience tonight about Butch, just last Sunday in Nashville, Tennessee, there was a young man that was in charge of the sound system, and I didn't see him up front like I had in the past when I visited that church. We used to pastor there. In fact, we pastored it 2 times. Our son is there now, pastoring the church. But I finally located him and realized that he was in the sound room, or in charge of the sound booth. So then in the altar service, somebody relieved him, and he came and worked in the altar. And I thought of that child when he was 4 years old. His father was in prison, and he had some older sisters and one older brother. And I would go to the house and just knock on the door and want to leave some literature from the church. And the mother was so backward and so bashful, so embarrassed of her condition, because she was trying to run the home on such a limited budget. She would just crack the door, and I'd say, "Can I come by Sunday and bring your children to Sunday school?" And she wouldn't say anything out loud. She'd either shake her head no or this way. And I just kept on going back. I felt a special urge and a feeling to go to that home. Well, to make a long story short, that young man came in the church. In fact, I had to dress him many Sundays. And she would say she just forgot, or she just didn't get up early, or she overslept. But it wasn't long till the other children started coming. And then the mother came. And then when the father got out of prison, he came a few times. I really don't know what has happened to him, but I know the mother and several of the children are still in the church. And this young man is quite an example of a Pentecostal youth. So we cannot put too much value on children. They're wonderful. And if I was the only child that was ever saved in Sunday school, I would have wanted some teacher to have been burdened for me. May the Lord bless you. Keep up the good work.
Praise God. Praise
Rebecca
God.
Ought to play maybe two or three since we didn't have a choir. We're going to have a choir tonight. All right. Let's let him do some music. And if you need one, I have five or six of his tapes out in the box.
Praise God. Well, I tell you what, there's so many great musicians around until I don't do a lot of playing. But we were privileged this past year to go to Russia, and they can't clap their hands. They told us when we went into the service, don't clap your hands. They haven't got that far yet. They've been so oppressed. But their singing is beautiful. It's quiet, and there's no real emotion except maybe tears. They do weep, but there's no shout or praise or clapping of hands. They asked me to play, and so from across the building I had to walk, and on the way I happened to think that one of the last classical pieces that I was taking when I was taking many years ago was written by a Russian composer. And I didn't know whether they knew him or not, but anyway, I knew that the first few lines of that piece would fit in key-wise and otherwise with a hymn, Wonderful the Grace of Jesus. So I sat down at the piano and just kind of impromptu played a few lines of Rachmaninoff's Prelude in C-sharp minor and went into Wonderful the Grace of Jesus, and this, I'll show you the way I did it.
faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I made so many mistakes on that one, I don't know whether I should play another one or not. Praise God. You know, the only time I practice is when I'm waiting on my wife to get ready to go. She gets ready pretty fast nowadays. Gotta soothe my nerves. I play the old hymns of the church, you know, and a lot of times I forget to tell what I'm playing. And sometimes the young people will come around and say, "What was that you was playing?" You know, I think they know because I know. One of the greatest hymns, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus, Just to Take Him at His Word." Wonderful to have a good booster like that. Praise God. We was riding down the highway. She's my greatest fan. She was reading the paper, and I put a tape in the tape deck. And it began to play, and she turned to me, and she said, "Is that you? Is that yours?" "No, that's Van Cliburn." I'm serious. That's what she thought. She thought it was me. It was Van Cliburn, one of the greatest concert pianists. But I do play some of his pieces, and not near like he plays. A concert pianist has to practice 8 hours a day. And I haven't practiced 8 hours in the last 3 months. But a concert pianist says, if I miss one day of practice, I know it. If I miss 2 days of practice, my friends know it. If I miss 3 days of practice, my fans know it. If I miss 4 days of practice, the whole world knows it. So all of you know that I've missed practicing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, you're a great audience. Amen. Praise God. You know, my mentor, piano style of playing has changed so drastically. When I started playing and played for Stamps Quartet and taught in their school, you had to have a strong left hand to keep the beat if you expected a crowd of people to sing. And now you've got your drums and your bass guitars and so on, and you don't need the strong left hand and the piano. But my mentor was Rudy Atwood, who played for Old Fashioned Revival out of Long Beach, California many years ago. And when I first heard him play, I thought, man, there has never been anybody that plays like Rudy Atwood. And so I copied his style. We liked him so well until when our first child was born. We named him after Rudy Atwood, Rudy Becton, because I wanted him to be the great musician, and he is tone deaf. It just, the name didn't do anything. We gave him music, but he didn't. He played the same recital piece 3 years in a row, and it was the Indian War Dance, and all you have to do is just boom, boom, boom. Praise God. Well, it's wonderful. It is wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord together again. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Well, the great Spirit is here, and the Lord is here to do for us what we will let Him. Thank you again, committee, Sunday School Committee, for inviting me to be a part of this great convention. It is great. It is great. Praise God. I'm reading a verse of Scripture, if you want to stand. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse. One that is well known to all, and without controversy, great is the mystery. Great is the mystery. I love a mystery. Praise God. Something about a mystery. Amen. And the rest of the scripture says, of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, direct our thinking tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, for You are the only one that can help us. And we'll thank and praise You and give You the glory for all that is done in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. I love to read good mysteries. There's something that's so intriguing about it. And on the back cover of a good mystery book, I read the byline of somebody concerning that particular mystery, and he said the tension is almost unbearable at times, but you can't stop turning the pages in a feverish desire to know what happens next. But you know, once you read it, you don't ever want to read it again. You may feverishly turn the pages, but once you've got to the end of it, that's the last. The mystery's solved. But there's something about the Lord. Amen. Just ever, ever unfolding. 1972 was the year. It's been 21 years since we put a man on the moon. 1972. NASA sent 7 Apollo missions to the moon from the years of 1969, the first one, to 1972. And one of those missions had to be aborted. 6 made it. 12 astronauts, 12, set foot on the surface of the moon. Well, they, of course,
looked it over, and they brought back 842 pounds of moon rock and dirt. Among the most famous samples that they brought back is named the Genesis Rock. And geologists have estimated the rock's age at about 4.4 billion years, as old as the solar system itself. It was the first time that someone found something that looked like the original lunar crust. The Apollo mission number 15 happened in 1971. It was the third one to make it, and it was the mission that brought back this Genesis Rock. James Irwin was the astronaut, one of the astronauts in that mission, and he was interviewed. He was asked the question, what do you feel when you stepped out, or what did you feel when you stepped out of that capsule and your foot or your feet touched the surface of the moon? Irwin said this, it was one of the most profoundly disillusioning moments of my life. Well, the reporter that was interviewing him said, how could standing on the moon be so disappointing? Well, he explained it like this. He said, all of my life I have been enchanted by the romance and the mystery of the moon. I sang love songs under the moon. I read poems by moonstruck poets. I embraced my lover in the moonlight. I looked up in wonder at the lunar sphere. But that day, when I stepped from the capsule onto the lunar surface and reached down at my feet, I came up with nothing but two handfuls of gray dirt. I cannot describe, he said, the loss I felt as the romance and the mystery was stripped away. There will be no more moon in my sky. And the reporter went on to say, when we come to the place that we can comprehend and can explain the Almighty, comprehend and explain the Almighty, there will be no more God in our heavens. Amen. When you can understand and explain Him. Praise God. Praise God. And the Amplified renders the verse of Scripture that I read, and great and important and weighty, we confess, is the hidden truth and the mystic secret of godliness. He, God, was made visible in human flesh, justified and vindicated in the Spirit, was seen of angels, preached among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. And I never cease to be amazed. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Hallelujah! Not one time have I ever stooped down and just dug up handfuls of dirt, but it's always, hey, majesty, might, awesome, praise God, great, never fails to stir me, to thrill me, praise God. This August I will have had the baptism of the Holy Ghost for 53 years, received it as a small child, and I'm awed every day, every day, every day. I never want to lose the mystic feeling. Hallelujah. But some folks have reached down in their own thinking and they've just dug up a few handfuls of dirt and there is no more God in their heavens. But I want you to know there is a God in my heaven. A God that works miracles. A God that works and performs in the lives of individuals the beautiful things from day to day to day. And I am awe-inspired. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible not only reveals God's endless love and awesome holiness, but also veils His majesty in mystery and paradox that transcends comprehensions. Did He not say, my thoughts are not your thoughts? And your ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. Collect all of our thoughts tonight, amen, and not one of them would equal his thoughts. All of us together, amen. Our ways would never come up with his ways. God is too vast and too mysterious to be confined to our thoughts and our ways. Hallelujah. A God so small, and hear me, a God so small that we limited humans could explain him is not big enough to be worshipped. Hallelujah. If I could explain him, I couldn't worship him. Amen. I can't explain him. But I think I can. He does it a different way. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Elijah listened to God's voice in the mighty wind, or he listened for it, and in the earthquake, and he thought it's going to be in the raging fire. But he heard him in the still, small voice. Praise God. I don't know what you're expecting tonight. Amen. Praise God. Maybe you're expecting me to leap over this pulpit. If you did, or if I did, you'd really leap and jump with me. But I'm not going to leap over this pulpit. But that doesn't mean that God is not here. Hallelujah. Sometimes we expect to, you know, in some big way, and it's just a still, small voice. Praise God. And I'm not minimizing the big way, the great way that we worship. Amen. But David one time said, "Be still. Be still. And know that I am God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, in a world that's saturated with woofers and tweeters and traffic and radio and television and jet whistles and disc jockeys and sirens and screams, how does a person contemplate the God of the still, small voice? Whew. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's lift our hands and praise Him. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I worship a God that cannot be contained in our earthbound processes. Praise God. A lot of folks like to contain Him, but He's out there. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The Scripture gives us two remarkable visions that came to two separate men about 800 years apart, but they both saw virtually the same thing. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Praise God. 800 years later, John on the Isle of Patmos said, "I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne. It was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices." Isaiah, go back 800 years, reported that the post of the door moved and the house was filled with smoke. And he saw the angels and they were crying, "Holy, holy, holy, my God." We may never have such visions as that. Amen. We must have a proper understanding of God's majesty. And folks, we have become so accustomed to so many great moves of God until we are immune from the moves of God that He still wants to make. And we have mental fixations. Amen. God is not moving. He's a million miles because nothing is happening as you have thought it was going to happen. You've come to this service tonight with a fixed idea of what's going to take place. And a lot of things is not happening like you thought it out. But I'm here to tell you that God is here. Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Amen! God said in Psalms 50 and 21, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself." You thought I was like you. God said that. Amen! Amen! What an insult to the mighty God. Hey, we're not like Him. Oh, we want to be like Him. Amen! But we're not God. Amen! Praise God. Amen. We have Christ dwelling in us, but we're not Christ. Amen. And this humanistic theory of our becoming little gods is false. Amen. I will never be God. Amen. You will never be God. You cannot maintain or control your own circumstances as a God could. But I can know a God that can control every circumstance, that can take care of every need, that can talk to souls when I cannot reach them. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. I want you to look what happened. When men entertained thoughts about God that really was unworthy of Him. Paul said, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Ah, praise God. Could it be that our hearts are going to be darkened? Because we glorify Him not as God. We glorify personalities. We glorify individuals. We have our own heroes in this world. And that may not be so wrong. Amen. But I'm telling you, when you don't know God like you ought to know Him and glorify Him, amen, and neither are thankful, then you become vain in your imaginations. Our personal relationship to God will stem largely from the conclusions that we have drawn about God. If they're shallow, our thoughts will be shallow. If they're fuzzy, if they're faulty, amen, then maybe our theology and our preaching will be fuzzy and faulty. But I want you to know, to whom much is given, much is required. And we have the message of the hour. We have the lesson of the hour to teach in Sunday school classes. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we have the work of God before us. The greatest hour that we have ever faced. The crisis of the United Pentecostal Church. Amen. It's going to bring out the rich and the best. Because our God never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise Him again. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I could shout tonight because I know a God that's great. That's so great that I don't understand Him. Amen. 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 Well, glory. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God! Praise God! Praise God! Hallelujah! 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 Glory! Hey, it's more than two handfuls of dirt. Oh, it may be disillusioned for the moon because he stepped out on it and found it was just so much dirt. But I'm here to tell you, I'm not disillusioned by God. Amen. Whew. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Where does the scripture say that this flesh is going? Back to the dust. What does it say the soul is going? Back to God who gave it. Okay. Who do you obey? Your flesh that's going to be mixed and mingled with everybody's dust and will be unrecognizable by anybody. Amen. And your soul that is going back to God who gave it. Amen. And so your flesh says, hey, sit tight. And your soul said, no. Hallelujah. Praise God. Your flesh says, they'll think you're crazy. And your soul says, take me to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, what is it? What difference does it make? What they think about the flesh, it's going back to dust. And you know, my soul sometimes gets a little over anxious. Amen. It knows it's going back to God, and it sometimes gets more anxious to go back to God than it does to stay in here.
And so what it does, it just takes control of the flesh sometimes.
Amen. Praise God.
There may not be scripture for shaking your shoulders, but when the soul begins to jump up and down on the inside, you know.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, and when we know that it's a mystery and we're looking to the end, oh, praise God. It's worth every movement. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
His first coming was welcomed by only a small group of people. When Jesus came the first time, I believe I could count on the fingers of both my hands the only ones that knew came. Wise men, we number three because there were three gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Angels announced his coming to a small group of shepherds. There weren't many shepherds. They didn't have to have a multitude out there to watch sheep at night. Maybe there was four or five shepherds, a few more. Simeon and Anna. And that's about all that knew that he came, besides Mary and Joseph. Why did God bypass the religious leaders of that day and announce his arrival to wise men who were foreigners, to shepherds out in the field, and to two elderly people, Simeon and Anna? I'll tell you why. The rest of them were too backslidden, too dull spiritually, or too preoccupied with their own interests. Praise God. Amen. My, my, my. Hallelujah. Why was it that his first coming was such that his own received him not? Amen. Let's look at it. The baby was born, hadn't expected his entrance into the world in that manner. And then they had to flee with him down into Egypt. He spent his boyhood days in a carpenter's shop in Nazareth. And for a while, he was an itinerant teacher, never one time going beyond the boundaries of his own small country. And he died on a cross. And they could not seem to fit this mild-mannered Christ into their scheme. It wasn't easy for them to equate swaddling clothes with deity. They just couldn't do it. They had expected that when the Messiah came, that it would be accompanied by an earthquake, maybe a tempest, or maybe a fire. And all they got was a still small voice.